internet for a while, but
we'll be getting there.
Hey. If you don't have one this evening, you're happy just to sing along with all the rest, that's just grand. Do you have one, Mrs. Bradford? Do you think it, or mine?
I don't have glasses.
Do you need your glasses, Norman?
Try those, see if they work, mine.
Are your glasses working for you this evening, Norman?
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
See if those work, Glenn. Or maybe those ones are.
These things might be better.
So good.
Be strong enough to draw.
I need to draw. I'm going to draw all week. I'm trying to see. Yeah.
Good job.
So 215.
215. Have you got one, Mrs. Brad? Heaven came back.
25 in the back of
Excuse me. Sorry, Norman. I am his and he is mine. That's a good selection. All right. Over to 51 in the big books, if you'd like to take a turn there. I haven't sung this one for a while. But if you're able, let's stand as we sing hymn number 51. Where we'll never grow old.
Where
you may be seated. Norman, you come on ahead, sir.
This evening's reading is from the book of Job. Job chapter 10. Sorry, Job chapter 11. I'm saying. Job chapter 11. Then answered Zophar in my head and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, and they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth to thee less than thine iniquity deserves. Canst thou thy searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men, he seeketh wickedness. Also will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands towards him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, and thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt think about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be at the giving up of the ghost. Amen.
Bible read. Just want to remind everybody about our little yellow beige magnolia. I think magnolia is a good colour. Prayer list. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to the prayer list for tonight? I don't think I have anything either, except for one thing. I would ask if you would pray for John Henry and the Henry family, if you would. I had a very interesting discussion with the man that owns that feed next door, and I would ask for your prayers for John Henry and the Henry family. So please remember that when you get the chance, even just to say a word and ask the Lord to work in the hearts and minds of those souls. Amen. Let's scoot over to our hymn book, and we'll sing 215. 215. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Let's a prayer. It seems funny not to be able to pass the middle of the service and not have one. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. We'll pray for a minute. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, that we can always come into your presence. Good times and bad, whenever we're on top of the mountains or we're in the darkest of valleys. And I thank you, Lord, for that offer, that open offer for any one of your children. And I pray you this evening, Father, for the John Henry family at this particular time, for the work in the church, for the work at Norman's house and the legal things there, for Ling's and John's and Norman's and Monica's and mine and Will's private prayer requests, for Steve and Dr. Shine, for Frank and Colin and Will, of course, as well, for our absent brethren this evening. Pray, you, Father, that you would put your good hand upon them. Lord, you know everything that's going on in the world, and you put most of it in your book, and we can see things happening just like the Bible said they would. And Lord, remind us continually that, Lord, you're the same God that parted the seas and walked on the water, and you're still in the soul-saving business and the miracle-doing business. And I pray you even now, Lord, that you would work in men's and women's and children's hearts at this time, convicting of sin and judgment to come, and saving souls. We really do thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And I pray you, Lord, for our friends and family members that don't yet know you as Savior, that whenever they look at us and listen to us, Father, that they would know that they've seen a child of the King of Kings. I pray you for strength and wisdom, for comfort and assurance. I pray for forgiveness, Lord, for where we've let you down. And I pray you, Father, as the days go on and get darker and darker, we would keep our eyes on you. And like the song and the psalmist says, that your word will be a light to our feet. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us, most importantly for your Son, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Father, just even for taking time to listen to us, listen to our prayers. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please bless this time that we've set aside. And please use it, Lord, to give us this day our daily bread. We love you and thank you. We pray for your good hand upon Israel, upon what's going on in Russia and Gaza and Ukraine. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, and we ask all of it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Now let's sing another song. If you'd like to take and turn to the wee black book, we'll turn to number 15. Get those words out eventually. Hymn number 15 is "How Long Has It Been?" And we will stand, if you're able, as we sing this wee song.
Thank you. Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. If you're in your Bible already, or you have it handy, if you'd like to take and turn to the book of Judges this evening, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Judges chapter 6 this evening, if you'd like to join me there. I'd like to spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of lessons from Gideon. It's not the book of Gideon, it's the account of Gideon, or at least the first little bit of it. We're going to read the first this chapter, chapter 6. There are 40 verses in it, and then I would like to bring you a few thoughts. If someone says Gideon, what do you immediately think of? The 300. I mean, we're not talking about the Spartans in Thermopylae Pass. We're talking about the 300 soldiers that never had to draw a sword and won a battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the East. Anyway, let's have a read at this and we'll see what the run-up to that battle was. Judges chapter 6, the Word of God says, "And the children of Israel, unsurprisingly, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son, unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and brought the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the yoke, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes, and there arose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cut down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who have done this thing? And when they inquired, they asked and said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece a full bowl of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. Amen. Let's pray and continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. I pray that you would open our understanding and our eyes and my mouth about all the things that we can gather and wring out of this portion of scripture, just like Gideon wrung the dew out of the fleece, Lord. Leave it in your hands and pray your presence among us, and we love you and thank you, Father. Please, please work a work this day, Lord. Amen. 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 That was a lot of reading. That was about 40, that was exactly 40 verses, and this is the run-up to the great battle that never was of the Gideon and his 300 against the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. But like every great judge's story, it begins with the children of Israel doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And it always happens. I'm going to tell you when it doesn't happen. When lost souls, when people that hate God do evil, they seem to get away with it. But when God's people do evil, there is pretty much an immediate chastening from heaven. And so if people can keep being up to mischief and nothing happen in their lives, nothing untoward happen in their lives, you can be sure they're probably not even saved. But if people get up to mischief and they end up paying for it, as Christians will, if they get up to mischief, well then you will know that they are the children of God, because the Bible says that God will chasten his children to straighten them out. But the children of Israel, they have been disobeying God for years. It has gotten so bad that people are worshipping devils. And many times when this portion of God's word is read, especially in the Western world, many people in the churches think, oh, I am glad we don't live in those old pagan days. And they sit there and they do their Laurel and Hardy bit with their tie, and they're glad they're looking down at those pagans, those uneducated folks from many years ago. I'm going to tell you something. This world is just exactly the same. I was in home base with Norman Tuesday, Monday. Did you notice what the woman in front of us had in her trolley? She had a Hindu god in her trolley and was buying that in home base to stick in her garden. I worship the Hindu gods. You wouldn't have thought that, would you? I've seen Buddhas stuck in gardens as well. We know that people worship other gods because they certainly don't be in church. And we also know that we live in a land that sacrifices children to their gods, the gods of ease and the gods of plenty, because we have abortion clinics. And yes, they might have put a nice little bow on it and they might shelter it under the umbrella of our so-called health service, but they're doing nothing else but murdering little babies so that mummies and daddies, 99% of the time, can have an easier life. These things are happening. And one of the things, one of the forerunners to the nuns and things in the Catholic churches was temple prostitutes. There is no mention of nuns anywhere in the Bible. That was never mentioned. But there are prostitutes that were associated with the pagan temples. That is the only reason for having a cadre of unattached females attached to any religious organization. That's the only parallel that can be drawn in the Bible. We live in pagan days. There are ones and twos that might dare to stand up and just say, hold on a second. But generally speaking, you're going to have the wolf pack come after them. What was happening here is that the Lord allowed these other peoples, whom he had already given to the children of Israel, he allowed them to take charge. Because God's people were worshipping their gods. They were thinking, oh, they have fun on a Friday night whenever we're in and getting ready for the Sabbath. Why can't we worship their gods? Oh, they can sleep around the country. Why don't we worship their gods? And we can do it. They can drink. Why don't we do that? And so the Lord took away his influence and his power and his victories, and he just let them have at it. In the grand scheme of things, that might be a one-on-one fight, but most times God was against his people when they rebelled against him. And so these people, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east, they would take the crops and the livestock of the children of Israel. And any time it ever looked like they were getting something, these people would rush in and take it all. That must, and 7 years that was happening. And the children of Israel hid in the dens and the mountains and the caves. And so it was when they got down to their lowest ebb. What do people do whenever they hit rock bottom? Oh God, please help me and I'll do anything you say. Isn't that what people do? I once heard of a Marine praying to God to help him whenever he was under attack in Vietnam and he was hiding under a fuel truck. And he prayed to God to help him and he would do whatever God asked him to do. And God spared his life. Of course, what did the fellow do, what most people do? Promptly forgot about all these great promises he had made to God. But that's what the children of Israel did. Help us, God. We'll be good, honest. Probably praying like that there with their fingers crossed behind their back. We'll be good. We'll never turn away from you again. And so what happened was God sent the prophet. Did you forget about everything that I had done for you, God said. Delivering you out of Egypt. Defeating the ten gods of the Egyptians. All the great plagues. Even opening the Red Sea. And drowning all of Pharaoh's army. Did you forget about the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night? Did you forget about the manna? Did you forget about the water out of the rock? Did you forget about the plague of fiery serpents? Did you forget about Moses holding the brazen serpent up and all you had to do was look at it? Did you forget about the Jordan being open? Did you forget about all of that stuff? What's that? When you're speaking to a Christian, like, what do you say? Did you forget that God gave his life on the cross for you? Did you forget that you have different options now that you're saved? Anyway, the angel of the Lord went to visit a young fellow called Gideon, who was actually trying to thresh some of the barley or wheat that he had grown, hiding so that the Midianites and the other people wouldn't come and take it away. And the angel of the Lord turns up and says, well, hey, mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. And he's going, what? He says, if it's for real, wait there and let me go and offer you a wee sacrifice. And so he goes and bakes a few cakes and he brings a wee bowl of broth and he brings this cooked goat. And the angel of the Lord says, put that in that stone there. And as soon as he puts it on, he touches it with his staff and fire comes out and consumes it and the angel disappears. And the thing about it is, most people thought their lives were forfeit if they ever saw the Lord God. If you cast your mind back to the days of Moses, Moses wanted to see the face of God. And God said, look, it's too much for you. Bear in mind that each one of us, even Moses, had a sin nature. And sin cannot abide the light in the presence of God. And if the very presence of God was causing a sinful Moses to glow, what would the face of God have done? The sin nature would have been destroyed out of him. And because it's so much a part of us, would have destroyed him as well. Gideon thought he was next. Thought he was a dead man. And God said, no, it's not the way it's to be. I've got a plan. And he told Gideon, I know your dad has an altar to Baal. I know your dad's a devil worshipper. But I think he was only a devil worshipper on the outside. Take a second bullock and offer it up on an altar. The altar of all the trees and stuff that you're going to cut down from the grove to Baal and destroy the altar to Baal. And that would be the start of things. And so that's exactly what he did. One night, because he was afraid of getting his head handed to him. And the next morning, the people go mental. Someone's dared to turn down our devil worshiping altar. And we know who it is. It's Joash's son Gideon. Obviously, he had a reputation as someone that prayed to God. Or he was a good fellow. He wasn't into what everybody else was into. He was a Christian man. It's Joe. It has to be Joash's son. He said, let's kill him. Well, have his head. You know what Joash said? If Baal's so wonderful, why doesn't Baal come down himself and do it? Let Baal plead for his cause. And that's why they called him Jerubbaal. Gideon's new name was Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead his cause against him. And that's the real problem, friends. The gods that are in this world that aren't God Almighty are nothing but gods of gold and silver, silicone and plastic and steel. And unless they quite literally fall on you, they're not going to do you any harm. Don't be afraid of them. So in the end of it all, it calls for the Baal worshippers to be put to death and sends messages out to all the tribes of Israel. And a bunch of men gather themselves to Gideon and they get ready to go and fight the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. Now where we stop is where Gideon checks with God. God, if this is a real thing, would you do this? And I have heard of people, I even prayed that prayer myself before I knew anything about Gideon. Imagine a whole land given over to devil worshipping. And you'll not be far off of the way America and Great Britain is, and Canada, and in fact, most of the Western world. We are quite literally given over to devil worshipping. People are more interested in what's going on in their hearts and in their minds. Oh, I must follow my heart. Or, I must follow my truth. That is, the Bible expressly teaches not to do that. Because if we were, how many of us would have twisted the stupid heads off all those people that have annoyed us? It's God's word and the following of it that keeps our feet on the ground and ourselves out of prison and means there's not a line of dead bodies behind us. But when a whole country is given over to devil worshipping and following their feelings and just going with the flow and doing what everybody else does or what the latest fad is on YouTube or TikTok or on the cinema or the TV, people are going to be annoyed whenever you stand up and be a Christian. That's just the way it is. Whenever you worship the God of heaven, whenever you worship and serve him, and praise him. But the thing is, unless, under God's direction, Christians start to do something that's different to everything else that's going on, and unless Christians opt out of abortion and sexualizing little children and drinking and smoking and sleeping around the country, the world is just going to keep on going the way it's going. I personally believe that the world is circling the toilet. It's circling the drain. And it's not a matter of saving the world, but it is a matter of saving individuals out of the world. But they're not going to get saved for themselves. The Presbyterian Church teaches that people that God has planned to get saved are going to get saved regardless. That's not the way it works. The Bible says faith in God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans chapter 10. So don't be afraid to stand up and be a Christian. You will find people will rally to you, will follow you. It may not be many, but you will find company. And second of all, don't be afraid to ask God for help, to ask him for direction, to ask him for a sign. One of the biggest things that made a difference to me was, as a lost man, was praying when I was on the very brink of making a decision for God, was, God, would you have your man preach a message on such a certain topic? And maybe just the first thing that came into my head. And whenever I went into church, he did like I do, and he He gave the Bible reference and he gave the title for the sermon, and it was nothing to do with what I had asked God about in the way in. So in other words, God wasn't an omnipotent God, but halfway through he did start talking about the thing that I had asked him about. I put out a fleece. God honored that because he knew I was desperately seeking him. Gideon did this two nights in a row. That doesn't mean there's a limit, because sometimes, friends, our faith is very, very small. And we need to build it up to a point where we can stand on it, where we can lean upon it and depend on it. You remember the fleeces? He wanted the fleece wet one night and he wrung it into a bowl and the ground dry, and he wanted the ground wet the next night and the fleece dry. And possibly that's exactly what happened, just like it did for me. I hope and I pray that God has worked in your lives and shown you impossible things. And they're not just to help you in the moment, they're to help you in the future. When God asks you to do something and you say, well, I already know God did these things, therefore, I'm going to trust him and follow his direction. God, I'm going to need a sign that we're going to win this fight. The Bible says that the enemy troops were like grasshoppers, like a plague of locusts over the ground. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned, out-equipped. Does this mean God was going to touch each one of them and turn them into a superhuman berserker that could kill 1,000 men with each sweep of whatever it was they were holding in their arms? Well, that would certainly make for an interesting story. He did that once in the Bible, and not very far from where we are, with Samson. God wasn't going to do that. We know as we read on that God said, right, everyone that's afraid, go home. Everyone that's just married, go home. Everyone that something else and something else. And at the very, very end, he came down to just a few thousand men and he said, take everyone to the stream and give them a drink. And anyone that drinks, I think, drinks the water like a dog lapping the water. Keep them. So Gideon went from half of the country coming to fight the Midianites and the Amalekites to 300 men. And he thought, what am I going to do with 300 men? This is what God said. If you are still a bit afraid, you and your servant go down at night and listen to the man speaking in the camp. So they crept down to the camp, and they listened at the camp, and they heard, I've been dreaming about a little cake rolling down and destroying all our tents. And they said, this is nothing but Gideon. The hand of God is upon him, and he's going to fall on us and kill us all. God had already beaten them in their minds. They were terrified. Here they were in a foreign country, away from everything they knew, and God had them beaten. And God didn't say, I've got some Kevlar armor, I've got exoskeletons, ballistic armor, thermal night vision. You just put these on and you have the strength of 10 men. God said, I want each one of you to take a trumpet and a lantern and stand around the camp. And whenever I give the cry, strike the front of the gourd off, blow the trumpet, and shout for Gideon and for God. And every single one of them killed each other. They were that terrified. And that is how they won. We don't know how things are going to go whenever we ask God for help, whenever we ask God's help. Things that are entirely beyond us are easily within the reach of God. Easily. And we need to trust in him. By all means, there's things that we can do and we should do. But there's things that we need to attempt for God because He asked us. Sometimes it takes time. There's no baby ever was born and got up and ran out of the hospital. The only ones that do that are foals, and even then it takes an hour or two to get on their feet. And just in the same way, there's no just born again Christian can possibly know all of the things that God has for them. It takes time. Time to learn what God likes and doesn't like. Time to learn what God will bless you for, and time to learn what God will warm your behind for. Time to learn to trust Him with the things that are written in His Word. Trust Him for the peace that passeth all understanding. The words whenever you need them, the comfort whenever things don't go your way or hardships come, or the assurance when God does things in your life, to know that it was God and that He loves you. It's like a little baby learning to hear their mum's and dad's voice, learning to see what it is they look like. So that whenever we do hear His voice, we will see His direction through the smoke and the mirrors and all the stuff that the world, the flesh, and the devil throws in our path trying to confuse us. We're going to say something. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. As long as you learn what works and what doesn't, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Learn from it and grow. That's what Christian growth is about. Because you and I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we do know the God that holds tomorrow in the palm of His hand. We should also know that He loves His children. That's you and me. And He wants what's best for us. And that all starts with getting saved and continues on for the rest of our lives in obeying God. You might think, well, this is the 20th century. 21st century, actually. We're in 2024. Everybody walks around with a computer in their pocket. We can get in touch with anybody, anywhere in the world, pretty much at any time. But the thing that we have forgotten is about getting in touch with God. In the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, the 90 years after the New Testament and the 1900 years since the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord never changes. He never changes. And what was valid for the children of Israel back then, obey the Lord, please the Lord, still works today. And we should still pursue that and gain the benefits of the company and the service and obedience to the King of Kings. That's it. I hope and pray that's a help to you. We might have a wee look, or at least have a read at Gideon, the final bit. But I pray that's what all those accounts are there for us to read them. All right, I think we have one hymn left to sing. It's hymn number 25 in the wee black book. If you'd like to take the wee black books, number 25, I am His and He is mine. We'll stand as we sing hymn number 25 in the wee black book.
But I saw me.
attention for the Bible reading, for your company. Please be much in prayer. Please remember the John Henry family. And amen. God bless you and safe travels home. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time we've set aside. Please honor it, Lord, and please use it to shape and mold us and strengthen and comfort us, Lord. You know what it is we need. I pray that you would supply our needs this day for strength of limb and mind and soul, Lord, and character. Please be with us, Lord. Please look after our brothers and sisters. Please save the souls of those that we know that don't yet know you. And help us, Lord. Help us to do our part in that. We love you and thank you. And pray for wisdom and strength for those that know what's best, Lord, to stand up and be counted, no matter what part of life or strata of society they're in. Please also put your hand in Kenny as well, Lord. For Israel, for Gaza, for those that's losing their lives, Lord, being thrown to the wolves, for Russia and Ukraine at this time too. Lord, anywhere there's fighting going on, I pray for the innocents, Lord. Please greatly, Lord, I pray, prick the consciences of those in positions of power, Lord, that are using it to fill their own nests. And please hinder them at every turn. Please bless those that love you, Lord, and love your people. Lord, all these things and our private prayer requests, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit. We're dismissed.